Morning. Let's do Genesis chapter 17. You're following along with us? Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I will make you a father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be your God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep. Between me and you and your descendants after you, every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be that the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person should be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to her, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But God said, No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of the 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And when he had finished talking with him, God went from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all his servants were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Amen. So we have now a little more clarity. Remember in Genesis 12, God announces what he's going to do, starting of the covenant promise. And now we're seeing this covenant become a little more articulated for Abraham. And so he starts off, so he's 99, so that's 13 years now removed from Ishmael. And so Ishmael is pretty much in that kind of culture, he's pretty much a man at that stage. And so now it's another time, so 13 years removed, so the Lord appears to Abram again, and he says something, and again, do you remember the chapter before, Hagar, calls God, and he calls him Elroy, right, the God who sees. And now God comes, and this is a self-revelation of the Lord, and he says, I am El Shaddai, I am God Almighty. This will be a common name that's used later on before the name of Jehovah is used in Exodus. But when you see this the El Shaddai or the God Almighty, obviously yes, it's talking about God's power and He is Almighty. He is all everything. But probably a better word, not that Almighty is really good, but probably a better word for understand is probably the word all-sufficient. And so what he's saying is, I am God who is all-sufficient. Obviously, part of that mighty is a part of that sufficiency. And so what God is relaying to Abram at this time is, Abram, I'm the God who takes care of everything. Right, I am sufficient to take care of all of these things that are happening around me. So this is what you need to do, and this is a really good word for us: walk before me and be blameless. So walk before me and be blameless. We forget that God is a holy, holy God, and so because He's God and because He's holy, you know, the whole issue of sin and all the way that works out, it's not compatible with who He is. And that's why we find later on the incredible need for Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Because the reality is, God is asking Abram to do something that is almost impossible to do, to be blameless. Right? To you know, not have any error. Almost impossible for him to do. We can do it, and he can do it in different seasons, in different times, but to have this perpetual blamelessness is not something that's in his sinful nature, his Adamic nature to do. And so we see how this is kind of starting to establish, this theme is starting to come about now. I'll establish my covenant between me and you. The better word for that is actually, I will give you. In other words, I'm choosing you, Abram, right? And this covenant is between me and you, and I'll multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram, again, good heart. I mean, God's changing Abram all this time, and so Abram falls on his face. And this will be a very a typical Eastern response to being in the presence of someone that's very revered or honored. And the falling on the face, we just typically mean, as we typically do, is it would be kneeling. It would be, your knees on the ground, your hands on the ground, your forehead touching the ground as well. And that's a very typical pose, and this is what he's doing here. And God now talks to him during this time. And says, my covenant is with you. You will be a father of multitude of nations. So now he changes his name. And so he says, now, no longer should be called Abram. Abram meant exalted father, but it was singular. So Abram, you're an exalted father, but now you're going to be Abraham, the father of a multitude. So not only the exalted father or, one person, and now this is kind of the scope of his ministry is going to be expanded completely. You're Abraham, the father of a multitude, and I'll make you a father of a multitude of nations. And so not only is it your name, but the name actually has a purpose attached to it. And you'll see this all through the Bible. In fact, later on, he names his son Isaac, which is kind of a joke in some ways. Because Isaac means he laughs. Right? And so kind of a peculiar name, but it's a response to what happens in this discourse that goes on. And I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I'll make nations of you. Kings shall come forth from you. All this sounds very familiar from before. I will establish my covenant between me and your descendants after you throughout their generations. And this is the key. If you have a pen, you should begin to underline some of these things. For an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. And then later on, I'm going to give you this land, all the possessions of Canaan in verse 8, for an everlasting possession. So now we see the beginnings of this. And I would venture to say for a moment that all this conflict that's happening in the Middle East, right? All this stuff that's going on with Israel and Palestine and all these things actually goes down to almost one word in here in verse 8, everlasting. See, the Jewish people believe that this is theirs because it's an everlasting covenant. It's given to them. The Palestinians believe, no, you guys left the land, right? You guys abandoned it. You know, we took over. We've been living here for generations. And then other land, so on and so forth, continue on and on and on and on. And this becomes a very, very serious issue. Now, let me tell you a story that maybe will highlight this a little bit. It might be a little hard to believe, okay? And so I just want to forewarn you in that. But I know these people, and so these are good sources, right? Not even sources. I know it happened. If you remember, right now the prime minister of Israel is Benjamin Netanyahu. And Netanyahu, if you recall, during the Clinton administration, if you guys remember, you guys weren't born back then, but during the Clinton administration, way back long ago, there was a Camp David summit where I believe at that time it was Yasser Arafat and Netanyahu, and Clinton was trying to broker some kind of deal. And if you remember, the deal just about happened. And Netanyahu, during that time, in other words, to partition land, give land away for peace. And so Clinton was really pressing this issue. And what ended up happening was Netanyahu, at that time, he enjoyed the highest rating of a prime minister in the history of Israel, the nation. The nation only goes back to 1948, but still. There was a prophet named Robert Moeri. He's a black, I don't think he was African, but he is a black man, incredibly prophetic man. And the Lord spoke to him to go meet with Benjamin Netanyahu. And so he doesn't know who he is. I mean, just crazy. And God brings him an audience with Netanyahu. And the word of the Lord for Netanyahu from the Lord was, if you try to give away land, I'm going to remove you from office. And sure enough, right, Netanyahu, the highest rating ever for a prime minister, tried to go through this deal, and boom, he was ousted. He was gone just like that. And he left office during this time. So Moeri comes, but part of that was another word of the Lord for him. He said that, but if you, now this is after he leaves office, if you get it right now, in other words, if you repent, and get your act together, I'll bring you back into office. And so I remember, and I mean, I had heard this years and years ago before Netanyahu became prime minister. And I kept hearing every once in a while on the news, Benjamin Netanyahu, and that he's gonna, he's reaching a level in his party. And you know what? If I was a gambling man, but I'm not, if I was a gambling man, I would probably take every cent that I had and bet it that Netanyahu would become prime minister again. Obviously, I didn't. I don't think there's, I'm sure Vegas has those kind of bets, they bet on everything. And so he comes into being. Now, I share that story with you to give you a one kind of sideline insight. That land belongs to Israel, okay? This is an everlasting covenant. And if you actually do a topography, of the land that's there, God gave Israel enough land to protect itself, basically. If you look through, there's mountains, rivers, there's national, natural border all around through rivers, mountains, and different things, oceans. But Israel, because of their unfaithfulness, unfaithfulness to God, land was taken away. Because at some season, they just literally just left, and they went off. And all these things happened. And so now they're in this tiny, plot of land that's just constantly surrounded. And you see why this turmoil. I mean, there's great wisdom in God for giving them such a large chunk of land, but through their unfaithfulness, more of it is given away, given away, given away. And now they're in the predicament that they're in. So some of the times people ask me, well, Pisan, how do I pray for Israel then? You know what I mean? And now, I mean, you see the current situation, you know, that's going on in this place. And I want to tell you first off, okay? This is going to sound really weird, right? But I'll tell you, I'm not one of those weird, like, pray for Israel, do everything Israel. You know what I mean? We have a lot of Christians like that and stuff. And that's fine. If that's God's, that's your calling, you know, that's okay. That's just not my calling. I'm not, you know, I think Israel is a great nation, but I think they're a great nation because God preserved them for the Messiah. I think God could have chosen any nation, right? He could have chosen Chinese people. You know, he could have chosen Koreans. You know, he could have chosen Turks. I mean, he could have chosen all kinds. Well, Turks wouldn't, who knows? I'm sure we were around during that time, but maybe not as established. And, you know, and all these kind of things. And so I have a value. But it's a value that I think God gives, but I'm not going to go crazy about it. You know what I mean? You know, I'm honestly starting to get really upset these days because I signed up for this newsletter, online newsletter about how to pray for Jerusalem. It's when I came back from Israel, and so I had a magazine. I was reading it, and this guy, and he had seen really good insights, and so I started reading it. Man, this guy sends me two emails every single day. Right, and it's like really annoying me right now. And even I put in the spam folder, and he's still like every day I get 2-3 emails from this guy. And he's an American Christian that's, you know, just enamored with Israel and so on and so forth. I should just stop talking right now about that before I get myself in trouble. And but in this regard, it's how we pray for them is we pray like the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right, you know, kind of let God sort that out. I don't want to get into the political process or anything. God's going to sort all this stuff out, you know. But I'm going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to pray that that people will get along, you know. And I mean, if you actually look at the history, you know, before the British came and invaded, actually Jews, Palestinians, Christians, they lived in peace. For a while, right? It's the white man. I'm just kidding. That's debatable as well. Anyway, and so I mean, this is what I was told when I was there visiting, but no research to show that that's a fact or not. And so then we come to this place, and so it's an everlasting possession. It says, "I'll be your God." And now here's covenant, and this is one of these things that you'll see throughout Scripture. God does his part, and he expects us to do our part. This is really important for us to get, okay? God does his part, but he also expects us to do our part, okay? Remember last month I was talking about Yom Kippur, you know, the holiest day, and it's the Day of Atonement, it's fasting. And so what happens? People, God brings his festival, God delivers, God does these things, but it comes and it's accepted through fasting. God does his part, he expects man to do their part. And in the same way, so we see the beginning of really the articulation of this covenant. God says, here's my covenant with you. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to circumcise yourself. Okay? Now, sometimes we read the Bible, okay, and we always have this idea that, you know, that was back then. People did stuff like that all the time back then, right? They didn't. This is crazy. You know what I mean? Like people, I know a lot of Christians that read the New Testament, and they're like, yeah, Jesus walked on water. Yeah, they did stuff like that all the time back then. You know, or they, you know, they fed thousands of people all the time and whatnot, and tried to rationalize miracles and kind of oddities in the Bible. This is crazy what God is asking. But I think it speaks to a couple things, okay? I'm gonna talk about that. One is, I mean, If you're going to be distinguished from every other people on the face of the earth, what's the distinguishing mark now? And, I mean, excuse my language, okay? I know it's early in the morning, but for God and the Israelites, it's your penis. Isn't that crazy? What the heck? I mean, you just sit and think about that for a moment, and what does he ask them to do? He asks them to cut and peel back the foreskin of your penis. This is going to be the sign of covenant. I know. I feel uncomfortable saying it, right? You probably feel uncomfortable hearing it. Can you imagine being Abraham, you know, at this time? And the Israelite people, what? The seal of our covenant is going to be the peeling back of our penis. I heard Jack Hayford give this. It was at Promise Keepers, actually the first Promise Keepers event in Southern California, Angel Stadium, and it was about 20,000 men there. Oh, it was incredible, and I was there, and he talked about basically sexual purity, you know, to the men who were there, and he was saying God is causing us to peel back, you know, our foreskin. And Hayford's teaching on that was, in a way, he's asking us to peel back our manhood, peel back our sexuality, you know, peel back kind of the essence of what it means to be a man in this regard. And wow, it was incredible. I mean, I don't do that message justice, but wow, it was so deep, you know, in what Hayford was teaching us. And there's something to be said about sexuality. I mean, you know, couldn't God just have simply said, you know, here's the sign, you know, put an earring on your left ear, you know what I mean? Or brand yourself, you know what I mean? Or, you know, do something, but he says he peels back, you know, this area. There's something very in tune with this issue of sexuality, right? There's something that in many ways is so grievous to God on this issue of sexuality, sexual immorality, homosexuality. You deal with all different kinds of things, adultery, fornication. There's something so profound, and I think that a lot of that comes out of our design, you know, as human beings, that we're made in the image of God, and we get to procreate other beings in the image of God. I think there's one side there where it's so close to God in his heart, and if you think about it, think, what is the seal of marriage? What is the seal of, is it saying, I do? No. The seal of marriage or being one is actually consummation, right? And so unless you consummate, right, you're not really married. And so we see how this idea of sexuality plays a huge part in kingdom. And now if you're the devil and you know that and you have that in mind, sexuality plays a huge part in trying to ruin man. And so the devil is working overtime, you know, in so many ways of trying to bring men down through sexuality, and especially probably the greatest weapon the enemy has in its arsenal right now is pornography. I mean, really, probably the greatest weapon in his arsenal is porn, and it's ruining people's lives. It's ruining marriages, and it's precisely part of that plan, that demonic assignment against men and against families and all these things. And so we should be very, very aware, right? God does his part. He expects us to do our part. There's nothing more grievous, right, sin is sin, okay? You know, but in terms of what it does to us as human beings, you know, there's nothing more grievous than adultery. That's why even Jesus in the New Testament, he makes a provision when they ask him about divorce. And he said, it's not permitted except in the case of adultery. Right? There's nothing so grievous to the human condition in the air relationship than a husband or a wife cheating on one another. I mean, it's crazy how that works, right? Because it's inlaid in our image. It's inlaid in kind of the structure of how we work in our lives and and in our ability to procreate others. And so the Lord tells Abram, this is what you need to do, Abram. You need to peel that back, right? You need to, you know, come and take this one thing. I mean, it's just crazy. This, you know, your reproductive organ, this is going to be the sign. And what you need to do, you need to take that one thing that distinguishes a man, and you need to peel it back, right? You need to cut it, and you need to peel it back. And it's really a crazy thing. And just a little side note here. He says, God says, do it on the eighth day. And if you have a son, you know that's very inconvenient, okay? Because you need to be out of the hospital in 3 days. And so, in other words, if you have to do it on the eighth day, you need to bring your kid back. And so insurance won't cover that kind of stuff. Inconvenient in those ways. But did you know, our associate pastor, you know, Sam Kim, who's in Beijing, Annie, the wife, when Micah was born, you know, she knew he was having a boy, she was stressing out. They were stressing out about circumcision. And they looked and looked, and she started doing all this research. You know what she found out? She found out on the eighth day of a boy, something with the nerve endings, actually, that is the most pristine prime moment to have your boy circumcised, actually the eighth day. Not on the first day or the second day, right? But there's something seen about the eighth day, and it was something about the nerve endings and all these things. I forget, but Annie was just so happy because she was afraid that she didn't want to inflict pain, you know, on her newborn child. No one does, right? But God said eighth day, there must be something to this. And she started doing all this research, and she found out that medically, that's actually the optimum time to do this kind of procedure, you know, which goes back to, you know, again, God's one smart guy, man, right? He really knows what he's doing in this regard. And so I gotta speed up. I'll do this really quick. And so Abram, all these things happen. So he does it. Immediate obedience, right, at the end of this chapter. Then he says, Sarai, and he says, look, this covenant, remember, they're one, is not just with you, it's also with Sarai, right? And her name is now Sarah, and the word Sarah means princess, okay? And another really beautiful name. And so I will bless her. She'll be a mother of nations, kings of people. She'll come before. Okay, so now we see that it's the same. It's the same covenant that's going on. And then now Abram fell to his face, and then he laughs, right? And he says in his heart. Now, he didn't say it out loud. He's saying, what? I'm gonna be 100 years old, right? He's 99 a year. I'm going to be 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. Right? I mean, are you serious? This is going to happen? Is this going to happen? And then this is what Abraham says to God. So in his heart, he says, I'm too old. My wife is too old. Now outside, he says, oh God, may Ishmael live before thee. And he's already doing plan B. You know what I mean? This is, you know, he's thinking, I'm too old. This is his unfaithfulness. I read some commentaries where they're saying he laughed and, you know, this is not a, like a ridicule or anything like that, and you know all kinds of stuff, but really bad exegesis, you know, on this. I mean, he laughs. He's saying in his heart, "This is not going to happen." Again, this is whole faith journey of Abraham in this whole journey, and he says, "No." Verse 19: Sarah, your wife, shall bear your son. You should call his name Isaac. He laughs. You know, this is going to be the sign. Hey, you didn't believe me? This is going to be part of that the whole rest of your life. I'll establish my covenant with him and an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Now, remember yesterday I said that there was no blessing on Ishmael? It happens now. Verse 20. As for Ishmael, why is he blessed? Because he says, because I heard you, Abraham. Abraham's still the father. He's still the loving father. And he says, because I've heard you, I will bless him. I'll make him fruitful. I'll multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes. I will make him a great nation. And, you know, this is actually a time for, I don't have time now, but for a little commentary to say that the purpose of the people of Israel was to be a blessing to the nations. I will bless you, right? I'll bless everyone through you. You will be a blessing. Right? Just like even here to Ishmael, it starts off right here. He starts off and he has concern for Ishmael and he blesses Ishmael now. The blessing didn't happen before, you know, in the chapter before. Now it happens because of Abraham, because of Abraham's pleading. Hey, may Ishmael walk before you. And so God says, okay, because you've asked me, I'm going to bless. This has been part of the call of Israel. And, I mean, just as a simple note of history, they have just not done a very good job of this. They've been too insular. And, unfortunately, you were in this situation that we're in now. And so I'll establish my covenant with Isaac. So that's where it's going to come through. Now, the Jewish people, you know, and so what Abraham does, right, even though he laughs, one thing, he's quick to obey, man, right? He's growing in his faith. Immediately, he takes him. He goes up, all the males and whatnot. You know, it was a very painful household that day, and they go up and get circumcised. Let's close our eyes today. Sorry, there's probably a little too much Israel commentary this morning. But Abraham and the covenant of circumcision. There's that part again. God does his part, and he waits for us to do our part. Now, some people say, hey, where's the grace in that, you know? Yeah, it's a holy response. I mean, we think in context. God says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a huge chunk of land forever. I'm going to bless your descendants forever. I mean, incredible stuff that's going to happen. He says, all you have to do is one thing. Just get circumcised, that's it, just one thing. I mean, that's a huge payoff. You know what I mean? That's just crazy. God is doing his part. What may he be asking you to do your part in? Whatever situation, it's something you can be fasting for or praying for, God is doing his part. Right? God is always at work. Are you doing your part? Remember, this whole thing is a holy partnership. Let's think about that. Meditate on that as we worship. Thank you. Let's pray on. Let's spend a moment and just talk to God about our obedience. Are we obeying everything that God is asking us to do right now? Maybe He's asking you to forgive somebody. Maybe He's asking you to pay back somebody money. Maybe He's asking you to share Christ with someone. Maybe He's asking you to pray for someone, really intercede, or give a gift to somebody, or seek restitution with someone. Or are we obeying everything that God is asking us? Let's learn from Abram's journey. Remember, he takes his nephew with him, and as soon as his nephew leaves, God says, "Now look eastward and westward and northward and southward." All right, the promise comes after obedience. And so is there anything right now? Just ask the Lord to probe your heart. Maybe pray David's prayer in Psalm 139. "Search me and try me, O God, and see if there are any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in everlasting ways." Is there anything that you need to take care of? Any God business? And I encourage you to do that today. Pray for strength right now to do that today. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community this morning. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling cancer or going through chemo or needing transplants or recovering from transplants. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them and the Spirit of the Lord will just continue to heal their body. Let's lift them up. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also that need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let's ask for that word of healing and that word of salvation to come into their lives. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for our friends and their family members to be healed. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's ask God to bring the provision of a job and a career into their lives. Let's lift them up. Go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for our church plant in Beijing. Ask God to continue to bless them and the leadership there. Pray for our missionary friends, the Chungs. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents in China, the Basarabas, Leanne Cheng, who's in Beijing, Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, and the churches in China, that God would just really use and minister powerfully through them, and that China would be one for the Lord. Let's lift them up, this country and our friends. Let's pray for our staff, pray for the pastors and other staff members, and that we would really work well together and hard for the Lord, and God would give us wisdom and insight into how to effectively minister at the church. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and media team. Let's pray that they would serve the Lord with all their heart. They really have a heart of worship when they're leading us and Pray for the teams and the leaders in each of these ministries. I know they're always looking for fresh faces and voices. And let's just pray that God will continue to add to their number. Let's lift up our teams. Let's pray over our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Kennedy, Old Peak Road, Bonham, Kowloon, and Lan Kwai Fong. Let's ask God's hand to be with our friends that are ministering tonight, all the leaders and the people that come together, that they would really be inspired and just really moved to move in community with one another. Let's pray. So remember focus, and let's pray for our sister Tin Yan. Let's pray for family spiritual unity. Pray for healing from the past, and that she would become a suitable helper before the Lord. Let's pray for Tin Yan. Let's pray for Christine So. Pray for her friend Yu, who needs much spiritual deliverance. Pray for God's wisdom and guidance for her future, spiritual renewal, God's power to be released in her, and that God would provide and prosper her her fiancé. Let's pray for Christine. Let's pray for Leanne Yen. I pray for the Lord to guide and bless husband Yen's career. Pray for her to be a better wife to him and to be a godly parents to daughter Anna. Let's pray for Leanne and her family. Oh, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for, just a covenant with Abraham, Lord, that's affected every single one of us, God. Lord, we are all sons of Abraham, Lord, in spirit. And as sons, God, we pray, Lord, that we would also walk in obedience that Abraham did. Lord, a lot of times he didn't trust you and didn't have that much faith at times, God. But, Lord, seemingly he always was quick to obey. And I pray that you'd help us to be like that as well. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.